26 Pieces, a Sherlock BBC fanfic written by Lanning.
Sherlock, as read by Lunchy.
John, as read by the Muse Calliope.
Mycroft, as read by Equicentric.
Additional characters read
by Equicentric
and Hardboiled Baby. This story contains explicit sexual content and graphic depictions of violence. Summary: Mycroft gives Sherlock the apparently simple task of solving a puzzle box containing a stolen microchip. It isn't simple.
John grimaced as his phone chimed. Again. He lowered his newspaper and picked up the phone, fairly certain he knew what he'd see.
Any progress? M.H.
John risked a glance at Sherlock, who was seated at his desk, turning a small wooden object over and over in his hands, like a deranged squirrel, snarling. Sighing, John texted an answer. Too dangerous to ask. Request armed assistance, J.W.
If that is my idiot of a brother, kindly tell him that I have better things to do than waste time on a child's toy.
Sherlock bent over the toy, prying it with desperate fingers and a truly frightening expression. John said diplomatically. Sherlock could make all the noise he liked. He did give a damn about the public interest, even if he'd rather be put to the rack than admit it. Living with him, while he pretended not to give a damn, was the challenge. He texted an addendum. Situation desperate. Mafeking must be relieved. J.W.
Bloody absurd little... Who transports stolen classified information in puzzle boxes? The whole point of the things is to tempt morons into opening them. They draw attention to themselves by appealing to the basest of human instincts. The thieves might just as well have put the chip in a cardboard box and painted British state secrets do not look on it in bright red lettering. Damn!
Sherlock pounded the little box against his desktop with no effect. John said again. He enjoyed the challenge. Usually. It was fascinating. Everything about Sherlock was fascinating. He'd even begun to find Sherlock's habit of leaving body parts strewn about endearing, in a repulsive sort of way. His phone chimed.
Deadline fast approaching. Progress imperative. M.H.
Tell him to go away!
Sherlock growled, casting his fiercest glare in John's direction. That glare had never had much effect on John, apart from drawing his attention to a pair of what he'd always considered stunningly beautiful gray eyes. He gazed back at his friend mildly. Would you like me to cut it open with my bone saw?
No, I would not. You could damage the chip.
Sherlock returned his attention to the box. We could take it down to St. Bart's and x-ray it first.
Ridiculous.
John knew Sherlock's stonewall phase when he saw it. Getting hungry yet?
No.
John rose, texting. Keep me company, then? Nation doomed. Going to dinner. J.W. Sherlock hesitated, then sighed.
All right. I need some air.
He rose, snatching his coat from the back of his chair.
Did you tell Mycroft to burn in hell?
Absolutely. John pulled on his jacket and shoved his phone into his pocket. Sherlock gave him a sharp look, shrugging into his coat.
Angelo's?
Fine. John watched Sherlock slip the puzzle box into his coat pocket with resignation. I thought you wanted some air?
And I'll have some on the way to Angelo's.
Sherlock was already striding toward the door.
I thought you were hungry.
Ravenous! The way the man walks. John firmly called his thoughts to heel and followed his friend down the stairs. Sherlock yanked open the door.
Not a decent case in weeks. I'd suspect Mycroft of sabotaging every criminal enterprise in London if such a project wouldn't involve leaving his office.
He knows how slow it's been.
John locked the door behind them.
He probably thought that thing would amuse you. Sherlock gave him a pitying look.
You consistently underestimate Mycroft's malevolence.
John grimaced and fell into step beside Sherlock. He is your brother.
Your point being?
He's concerned about you.
What makes you say that?
He keeps an eye on you. John observed the CCTV camera on the corner pivoting toward them as they crossed the street. He sends you cases to keep you occupied, and, just in case you've forgotten, he abducted me to demand my intentions. Sherlock snorted.
He wanted you to spy on me, undoubtedly to provide him with a prompt account of my inevitable psychotic break.
John clenched his fists inside his pockets. He doesn't believe that. Sherlock shot him a quick look.
You don't believe that,
he corrected in a strangely gentle tone.
Thank you.
John hastily looked away. Sherlock's odd little half-smile always undermined his self-control in dangerous ways. You shouldn't believe it either.
I am cheerfully resigned to my eventual departure from reality.
Was it Mycroft who convinced you of this rubbish? For the life of him, John couldn't keep the edge out of his voice. Sherlock gave him another sidelong glance.
Preparing to defend my honor again?
Damn. Don't start him on that again. Your honor doesn't need defending.
Anderson still hides whenever you show up at a crime scene.
There was a quiet glee in Sherlock's voice that made John grin in spite of himself. He turned his head to look for imaginary traffic as they crossed the next street. I told you, that was just a misunderstanding.
Oh yes, you told me. I haven't heard the word freak out of any of that lot since you two misunderstood each other. One might be forgiven for conflating correlation and causation.
John shrugged, avoiding eye contact. Maybe Lestrade had a word. Sherlock surprised him with a chuckle.
Lestrade? Really, John, you can do better than that.
John kept his gaze focused on the door to Angelo's, now just a block away. Nothing I could say would have any effect on Anderson.
You underestimate yourself, as usual. You can be truly terrifying when required. John?
Yes?
Have you noticed that we're being followed?
John didn't look behind him. I'm assuming you mean by someone other than Mycroft. Sherlock shot him a triumphant glance.
We have admirers, one behind and one across the street.
John closed the distance between them, his arm brushing Sherlock's. His hand closed around the handgun in his pocket.
Relax,
Sherlock murmured, his smile reappearing.
They're not closing in, just observing.
The box?
Only Mycroft knows we have the box.
Unless he was careless.
I'm shocked you would suggest such a thing.
Sherlock pulled open the door to the restaurant, his smile deepening.
After you?
John walked inside, scanning the faces of the diners. There weren't many. It was early yet, and the place was half empty. Nothing seemed amiss. John's observations were cut short by Angelo, coming toward them with open arms.
There they are. My favorite couple.
John stifled a sigh. Sherlock allowed himself to be hugged.
Our usual table, Angelo?
Yes, yes, of course. The window table. Where you had your first date. Such a romantic.
Angelo led them to the table, beaming. John suppressed a smile. What a world Angelo must inhabit if Sherlock Holmes was considered a romantic.
Another case, yes?
Sherlock took his seat with an indulgent expression.
Tell me how you knew.
You do not look hungry. Your boyfriend does. I notice these things. Ah, the candle!
Angelo disappeared, snapping his fingers at the waitress to alert her to the new customers. John slid into his chair and stared out the window, looking for their admirers in the darkening street.
The man across the street in the red scarf who's been tying his shoe for the past minute and a half,
Sherlock said in a dry tone.
And the one in the hideous jumper and mismatched socks who was pacing past Angelo's door for the third time.
John nodded, managing not to tell Sherlock how bloody amazing he was. He watched the purple and green jumper pass by with considerable bemusement. Not exactly trying to be unobtrusive, are they? I would have thought...
You don't correct him anymore,
Sherlock said softly. John glanced at him, startled. Angelo?
Yes.
No point.
You don't mind?
I never minded. I'm just not your date, that's all. Sherlock's eyebrows rose.
You took pains to introduce yourself to Sebastian as my colleague, as I recall.
John felt the heat rise to his face. It had been almost a year. He'd hoped Sherlock had forgotten. He should have known better. His hands twitched at the memory. Even now, nothing would please him more than to wring that sorry bugger's neck. I never said sorry for that, did I?
You never needed to.
I didn't mean it the way it sounded. Something about him unnerved me. That was true enough. Sherlock frowned.
Sebastian. He's relatively harmless, certainly not someone I'd have expected to unsettle you.
They were now in perilous territory. Sherlock was in an unusually communicative mood tonight. I suppose he reminded me of someone I used to know. A small-minded, sadistic bastard, to be honest, and...
And you wanted to avoid receiving any of his sadistic attentions?
I wanted to avoid you receiving any of his sadistic attentions. As it turns out, I didn't do very well.
Oh, that's...
Sherlock seemed genuinely surprised.
You thought I'd be affected by anything Sebastian Wilkes said.
The memory of Sherlock's expression during that conversation rose before John's mind's eye. Hell yes I did, and I do, and I'll bloody well kick his arse if I get half a chance. I didn't know you very well, did I? Angelo arrived with a candle, a bottle of wine, and two glasses.
On the house, on the house!
He winked at them and hurried off in the direction of the kitchen.
Evidently not.
Sherlock pulled a lighter from his pocket and lit the candle.
But I appreciate the thought.
John swallowed and looked away. Christ, Sherlock in candlelight. You wouldn't think the man could get any more damn beautiful. He scanned the street for the admirers, but he couldn't see them. Sherlock poured the wine.
In the doorway, across the street. The other one has gone round the corner, probably lurking at the kitchen door.
He pulled the box from his coat pocket and examined it in the candlelight. John leaned forward. Sherlock, if they're interested in the box...
Then I've just confirmed that we have it,
Sherlock murmured,
thus guaranteeing us an introduction.
John managed not to groan aloud. The man was utterly brilliant, impossibly brave, and a bloody danger to himself when he'd been without a case for more than a few days. Add to that his compulsion to upstage his brother at every given opportunity, and John foresaw broken heads and uncomfortable questions at the yard, both of which he could do without. John pulled his phone from his pocket.
What are you doing?
Texting Mycroft?
Absolutely not.
Sherlock plucked the phone from John's hand.
We've nothing to tell him yet.
We can tell him that we're being followed and that his brother is taking his death wish for a walk again. John made a grab for the phone, but it disappeared into Sherlock's coat.
Drink your wine.
Sherlock lifted his glass, giving him that impossibly enigmatic smile again.
To the evening's entertainment.
John grimaced, touching his glass to Sherlock's. Well, red scarf and hideous jumper certainly didn't seem to be much of a threat. As long as they kept them in sight, he and Sherlock would probably emerge from Sherlock's latest little diversion unscathed. Tell me you're armed.
Of course.
Sherlock took one sip of his wine and beckoned to the waitress.
You need to eat, John. Eating always improves your outlook.